Let's stand for the reading of God's word from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. Wow, you're going to have a jailbreak. That's wild. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. Amen? That's who God wants all of us to be. So, Father, I know it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Bring us a breakthrough word today to help us, especially those who struggle with hopelessness and depression and negativity. Let there be release in this room in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody gets discouraged, but you have to go on with your mess. You just have to. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he quoted this passage that I just read to you, and he stood in the pulpit of the local synagogue and read from this passage in Isaiah and then looked out at the crowd and said, "This day, this word is fulfilled in your ears." I'm the one going to fulfill these words that I just read to you. It's in Luke 4 and 18. How many know when your heart gets broken, you can get discouraged and depressed, right? It does happen. I was blessed on Tuesday morning to have Jay Redmond stopped by. Jay is a wounded warrior, United States Navy SEAL, who grew up in one of our churches as a child. Got to hear Dave Reaver when he had first come back from Vietnam. Remembers that in his church. And went off to become qualified, be one of the few that qualifies to become a United States Navy SEAL. And he said, "I was Mr. Get Out of My Way. I don't need God. I don't need anything. I'm a Navy SEAL, right? I can do whatever I choose to do." He got himself into all kinds of situations that he shouldn't have. He said, "But when I found myself on my back bleeding out in Iraq," he said, "God and I had a reacquaintance moment," okay? Yeah, so he came by the other day to say hello. He said hello to all of you. And someday we hope to have him back here on a Memorial Day weekend. Jay's a great guy. And he and his family have a great church back in Virginia Beach where they live. I'm so glad to see God take wounded people, broken people, and restore their lives. Amen? That's what he does. If you had a turnaround with your finances or you've struggled with addiction, I mean, it takes away your courage and leaves you flat sometimes. How many know when you lose somebody you love dearly, it's very easy to be depressed and get more in mourning, and it overwhelms you. But the promise of God in this same chapter in Isaiah, instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. Amen? So when you step into his promises, he has double portion for us, because the anointing he's talking about in his passage to us breaks negativity and despondency and discouragement. The presence of the Holy Spirit breaks depression. However it arrived in your life, it's a stronghold, and it will bind you when you allow depression to begin to control your thinking. It will steal your purpose for living and your destiny, and steal your hopes and steal your dreams. When a male reaches middle age, if he's not reached his desired goals, there's an attempt perhaps, or a leaning in the direction of wanting to be a little depressed. That can happen with a lot of guys when in their careers they haven't achieved those things they felt they should have achieved. When a man sets out to reach certain goals and for whatever reason doesn't achieve them, that depression can set in, because males often draw their esteem from their careers, from their jobs. And when a male doesn't achieve that, depression sometimes sets in. It can be a stronghold. It can be a chain in your life to bind you to such a degree that some males get to the point where they don't feel like life is worth living. It's a dangerous place to get to. right? That's what he's talking about when he's talking about jailbreak. They break out of that. Satan will align himself against you, and he'll attempt to compound the issues by reinforcing the things that you're feeling and starting to think. Our culture can pressure females into thinking they all should be married by the time they're 25. And if you haven't achieved that, then society says, how come you're not married? Do you know biblically you can be fulfilled and fulfill your purpose and still be single? That you don't have to have a man or a woman to fulfill your purpose? If God's gifted you with single, listen, so go on and fulfill the purpose God has for you right now, right where you are. You can have joy now. In fact, if you have to have a man or a woman in your life to be happy, you're still going to be miserable after you're married. Amen. I have to have the Lord the center of my life to be happy. Amen? Isaiah tells us that the anointing breaks that yoke. The anointing, the power of God, the Spirit of God, lifts burdens, pops open those prison doors that chain and bind us, and breaks bondage. In other words, the presence of God can help lift us out of the messes we get ourselves into, lift us out of the negativity that often overtakes our lives. That's why we need to be in church. That's why you need to hear the Word of God so that you can experience the collective presence of the Holy Spirit that begins to break those chains that want to bind you and hold you back. The name Christ means the Anointed One. Jesus Christ is the Anointed One. Jesus Christ lifts the burdens, breaks the bondages of depression. And when Jesus is allowed to have control and direction in our lives, he brings his presence that gives you the ability to overcome those moments that want to set you back. And although you may not have yet seen your dreams fulfilled, you believe that if you seek God with all your heart, he will assist you in getting there. Yesterday, we had the privilege of dedicating the Punjabi Christian Center with Pastor Ghulam. And just hardly a mile away from where we are now. They've grown out of their chapel when Pastor Long was here and brought the Masis here from England to work among the Punjabi population here in Yuba City. The dream was one day they'd have their own facility and enough people to be self-sustaining. And it doesn't happen sometimes as fast as we want it. That can get discouraging, but we all celebrated because in God's time, they occupied a building that's their own now. And we celebrated the goodness of God fulfilling the dream. Amen? Amen. So rather than allowing ourselves to be ruled by our emotions, we want to be ruled by the principles of God's word. So if you're committed to God, sold out to God, putting him first, the enemy will place you on his hit list to try to hold you down and keep you back, to try to prevent the plan of God in your life. If you're anointed in that you are seeking the presence of God, even sometimes your own friends won't support you and they'll walk away from you. When you're committed to God and you're walking in his presence, sometimes even people you love most, family members, may align themselves against you, criticize you, not knowing what they're doing. They're discouraging you. They're kind of spreading their own coronavirus. It's a different kind of coronavirus when they spread negativity into you, hoping you'll catch their negativity. And sometimes people do. All of Israel did that when 10 spies came back with an evil report and spread it everywhere. Because of the anointing that was on Elijah, he had won a great victory. He had killed all the false prophets of Baal. He had slain them, put them to death because God proved himself to be God in Israel. And he found himself after that depleted and depressed. He was so depleted. And that shows you that when you're tired and fatigued, you can get depressed. So you have to eat right. You have to rest. You have to exercise. We did that in church yesterday with Pastor Ghulam. We had to jump 3 times during the song. Now, some of us can't get very high off the ground anymore, but amen. So you have to eat, you have to rest, you have to exercise. Elijah found himself hiding in a cave. And how many know that you have a tendency when you're depressed to go sit alone somewhere and brood and close the blinds and sit in the dark and don't want to be bothered by anybody. And that's the worst possible thing you can do. The more you isolate yourself, the more depressed you're going to become. You got to make up your mind, I'm going to step out as hard as it is and interact, because that helps bring us out of those moments of despair. And when we get in the presence of God with others who are experiencing the flow of the Holy Spirit, that breaks that chain of depression. So we make up our mind, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And when you don't know what to do, stand on God's Word, and He will get you through that setback. Tell somebody, stand on God's Word. Yes, Elijah found himself depressed. He's out hiding in a cave, and he was blessed of the Lord, but he runs in the middle of a crisis. He ran. Have you ever been blessed of the Lord? Then you turn around and you ran for your life, because the queen, Jezebel, put a bounty on his head and said, by the time the day is over, I'm going to do to you what you did to those evil prophets that served me. Have you ever been blessed by God? Then you get a threat after all this high you've experienced. Then you have this awful low, and you did all you knew to do, but you still found yourself depressed. Depression means there's an absence of hope. Hope is now dissipated. It's been diluted. And many seem to be discouraged in our world today. There are a lot of people walking around that feel hopeless. It amazes me how many people suffer from depression in our own community and across our nation. The level of negativity and hopelessness people seem to live with today. Make up your mind, even though you're going through something, His presence, listen, is stronger whenever that whatever it is you're facing. You need to make up your mind, even if people you care about aren't paying much attention to you, you're going to come out of the cave of negativity. Make up your mind that God's going to turn the negative situation around in your life for your good. It doesn't do any good to feel sorry for yourself. There's something inside of you that thinks, if I feel sorry for myself long enough, then God will have pity on me. Am I preaching right? Is that okay? Just checking. All right? Feeling sorry for yourself is nothing but an expression of doubt and unbelief. And the only way you're going to move God is by faith. Right? When we feel sorry for ourselves, God takes it personally. Don't you believe me anymore? Don't you trust me anymore? When we feel sorry for ourselves, what we're saying is, God's not going to work this out. I can't trust you. You're not working the way I think you should. Think about what we say when we say that. You, God, who made everything and sustained everything, you're not doing things the way I think you should. Okay. It's a lack of faith on our behalf. We've all done it. You know, I was feeling sorry for myself when I thought, God will feel sorry for me because I'm feeling sorry for myself. Man, did I get a jolt into reality. Wait a minute, son. Snap out of it. I don't attend pity parties. I don't show up to those parties. So let's make up our minds to get faith moving in the right direction. It's amazing. We sell out to God, and then the enemy comes and attacks us. And if you don't think there's such a person as Satan, give your life wholly to Jesus and watch what happens. He'll show up. And the anointing was on the life of David. He finds himself hiding in caves. He's been anointed to become the next king of Israel, but King Saul says, not on my watch, and he puts a bounty on David's head and hunts him all over the countryside trying to kill David. David was blessed of the Lord, senses the presence of God, and the enemy is looking for every possible way to take him down. While he's out serving God, dispelling the adversary, another set of enemies comes into the compound where David and his families and all his mighty men of war have gathered, and they've set up a compound. Their wives and their children are there. While they're out fighting, another enemy comes into that compound at Ziklag, and they steal everybody, steal everything they own, steal their wives, their children, kidnap them, burn the place to the ground. David was depressed. I mean, tears are running out of his eyes. And how many know when you lose something that's dear to you, there's a very good chance that the spirit of depression is going to try to lay itself across you and be all over you. Have you ever been blessed of the Lord? Then the enemy walks right into your turf and tries to steal something you love and rip it away from you? Have you ever been anointed in the presence of God and the enemy walks in and tries to steal your finances? Anytime you have trouble and discouragement, listen, discouragement is going to walk in and do everything possible to come against you. You love God, you come to church, and something breaks down in your car. And that discourages you. And you get it fixed, and a week later, something else breaks down in your car. Right? You get that fixed and turn around, something else breaks down. Do you ever have a series of things go off like that? Here's what I've discovered. The enemy doesn't just set off one IED. He has them sequenced. And so when you're over here trying to put this fire out, he blows up something over here and then something over here, and he does it simultaneously. And here's what I've learned. I have to step back and not panic, and I know exactly who that is that's doing that to try to get me off my game. Because if he gets me off balance and he gets me out of the groove of serving the Lord, then he sidelines me, amen? And he keeps me from fulfilling my purpose. And I just need to call him out for what he does. So that's the kind of thing the enemy loves to do. He loves to walk right in and steal something that is dear and near to you. Am I preaching to myself in here, or is anybody else in the room? I'm just checking. Anytime those things happen with you, discouragement will begin to affect you. And when you're really trying, I mean, you're doing everything you know how and it doesn't work out. How many know that's discouraging? I mean, you're pushing and you're pulling and you're striving and you're exhausting all your energy. David had some trouble because the Lord was with him. How many know when the Lord is with you, the enemy seeks to attack you? But it was the anointing on David that caused him to defeat that 9.5-foot tall giant. It was the anointing that God gave him that enabled David to just use a sling and a stone. That's all he had in his arsenal to take down this very large, powerful, skilled warrior. It wasn't much that David had. You wouldn't think a little sling in a man, young man's hand is going to do anything against a giant of that proportion. But you see, when God's in your life, you don't need a whole lot. David just used what God allowed him to have. We have to use what we've got, and then God will work through that. You don't have to have much, but just use what you have. Tell somebody, capture a greater sense of God's presence. Tell somebody, capture a greater sense of God's presence. Amen? Amen. See, I'm getting so excited. My watch wants to send an SOS. It's not going to do that. Elijah was discouraged. He was depressed, but in his depression, listen, God said, Elijah, get up out of the cave you're in. And God didn't speak to him in a whirlwind or in some manifestation of fire or in a storm. God spoke to him in a still, small voice, right? He had become so negative, that preacher, that he says to God aloud, he said, God, I'm the only one left in the nation serving you. Nobody else in the whole nation loves you anymore, only me. I'm the only one left. This is how depressed this guy was, right? And God tells him, get up out of that cave, get a flask of anointing oil. There's a young man down in the valley named Elisha. I want you to come out of that cave, and I want you to go anoint him for ministry. Now, what's the point there? The point is when you're in a cave, when you're behind the bars of negativism, depression, you might not want to come out. You kind of feel safe in that dark place. Don't know how you're going to come out. Looks like it's impossible. How can I ever recover from this? Then it's when God says you have to forget about yourself and go bless somebody else. You've got to forget about what you're going through and go help someone else. It's a phenomenal methodology of therapy that God was showing this preacher how to utilize to help him come out of that depression. You have to pick up a towel and start serving in your own church. You really don't want to because you're not feeling up for it. I'm depressed. You're too discouraged. But God says, pick up a towel. Begin to serve. Get the vacuum out. Help somebody. Use your talent. Join the team. Teach a connect group. Do something to help someone else. Watch how the negativity begins to break up in your thinking. You'll get the focus off of yourself when you begin to help somebody else. And if you really want to get out of negativity and depression, and frankly, some people I've met don't want to, because that's become their new comfort zone. Some folk like living in a pity party. They really like the attention because they're always texting somebody. Let me tell you, girl, let me tell you what he did to me. He kicked me to the curb. Let me tell you, he lied about me. Listen, some really don't want to come out of that. They almost enjoy living in that environment because they like the attention they get by being down all the time and everybody having to ask them what's wrong all the time. But I'm speaking to people who want to walk out of the cave the enemy's forced you to be in. Amen? There's a principle in the kingdom of God. Understand this. Give, and it shall be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's not just about finance by any means. Look at the context of that verse. There's the principle in the kingdom, even when you're not perfect. Aren't you glad we don't have to be perfect for God to bless us? Amen. Get this. Say, get this. God is speaking to somebody here. Give. Pick up a serving tray. Give. Join the worship team. Give. Help in reality kids. Help some boys and rangers. Give. Pick up that towel. Amen. Pastor Michael assembled a number of ministers from our community who were interested and qualifying for their CCW here in Sutter County. And at no charge to them, he took them through the course. So in giving the talent he had to bless somebody else and let them have opportunity to learn and get to the place where they could adequately, properly, safely understand the use of a firearm. So we, whatever talent we have, we need to utilize it and give to others. Elisha, who was out down there in the valley, who had a career, leaves his career and receives the blessing of the Lord from the prophet Elijah. And his first job, was to be a servant to the man of God. And he began to carry the prophet's backpack. He began to make his hotel reservations. He began to cook his meals. He began to wash his hands. They were sanitary back then, and sometimes even overly so, because they wouldn't do anything without doing this. They were always had a bowl, and they always had towels, and they were always washing their hands. There is an anointing that comes on a person who will serve. In fact, you'll never have a real anointing unless you've learned how to serve. God, show me my ministry. Lord, show me my ministry. I know you called me. I see myself on stage. Yeah. That's always, watch out when that one comes out. Show me my, you're never going to see anything. Hear me. First you get up, find yourself a pitcher and begin to pour. Begin to bless. Begin to help others. Get involved. Then watch what God does. And I tell you, you prayed, God, show me what to do, and nothing happened. Nobody allowed me to do any. Why? You thought, I have to do something. Listen, he's not going to write it on the wall to you. You won't hear a loud voice. Just go to Pastor Tyler and say, I'm opening my home. I want to open it to a connect group. Go to Pastor Alex and say, can I help with Rangers, right? Here's a clue. You're not going to start here. You're going to start here. That's where you start. That's where everybody starts in his kingdom. He says, I will test you in your servanthood. I know a pastor, he was testing someone for a position on his ministry staff. And this was an athletic type guy. I mean, a jock. He was like, you know, get out of my way. I want to be involved in sports on our campus and whatever we can do to enhance in our community. He said, here's the way I tested him. He said, we went to camp and I put him in the kitchen. And then I put another one of my staff nearby and I wanted to bring me a report. Tell me how he reacts. If he's in there complaining, that I'm an athlete. I shouldn't be in here washing dishes and serving people meals. He's not going to be on my team. But if he has a good attitude with the assignment that I've given him, then he'll qualify to be on my team because he has the heart of a servant. He's willing to serve. And Jesus said, well, let me get to that. I'll show you this. The anointing comes by serving. Elisha served Elijah until Elijah threw his prayer shawl down from the chariot of fire and Elisha caught it. If you want to catch the anointing, you have to get up and serve like he did every day. Anybody want greater presence of God in your life? The presence of God that breaks every depression? I knew you'd get quiet because nobody wants to hear about serving, right? God will assist you with finances. He'll assist you with wisdom in raising your children. Anybody want the presence of the Lord in a greater way? I just told you how. Get up and serve. You have to learn to give. I'm trying to help you here today. Today can be your day to see things turned around if you'll stop being comfortable and use the giftings God gave you. It was Passover supper. And Jesus is now hours away from laying his life down to cover our sins. The most stressful moment for any person who donned human form, who was born a human, who became a human in Jesus' case. Listen, there was no greater stress than this moment on anyone ever in life or ever again will be, because he was about to carry the sins of every human being who had ever lived and would ever live. And he's now breaking bread in the last time he'll be with his disciples, sharing the communion service as we know it. And what does Jesus do? At the Passover supper, he steps away from the table, picks up a towel, and he begins to wash the feet of his disciples. They'd all walked through the same door. Everything was in place for them, but there was no servant there because every home had somebody who would help you and assist you with a basin of water and a towel, because in that day, you know, you walked just on dirt streets and dirt roads. And everything else, every other animal had walked on those dirt streets and dirt roads. So your sandals were clogged with all kinds of stuff, okay? And so you got into a home and you washed your feet. There was always those implements there, those elements there. There was no one there to do it. Every disciple knew this is what we're supposed to do. But instead of talking about which one of us should be the one that takes this responsibility, because, you know, I set the table and I took care of the lamb, and everybody had an assignment, but nobody wanted the assignment of washing feet. And nobody even cared to notice that their feet hadn't been washed. You know why? Because they were all clamoring about which one of them was going to get to sit next to Jesus in his kingdom. Who was going to be second in line? That's what they were discussing. That was their moment of servanthood. So Jesus gets up, and he's showing, as master and king of all, I'm here to serve. He's serving the human race in just a few hours by putting his life on the line for all of our sins. We need to learn how to pick up a towel and serve, to wash one another's feet, to serve one another, be involved in doing whatever it is God has gifted you to do. You get involved doing something, anything, until God gives you another responsibility. You stay with what God gives you until a greater sense of anointing comes and opens another door. You have to look beyond where you are. You might feel depressed where you are, but look beyond where you are. Faith doesn't just look at where I'm at, stuck in the moment. Faith says, wait a minute, God's got a better plan than this. Quit looking at today. Look down the road. Someone listening right now, you got your feelings hurt doing something in the church. And you were serving while you were doing it. Poor thing. Excuse me, but I'm having a moment here, okay? If anybody got his feelings hurt while serving, it was the one we're serving today. Right? You got your feelings hurt, so I'm going to quit serving. Sometimes you have to be like Jesus, and you just pick up the towel. And you just do what's got to get done. There was a devil in that room that night. Judas had Satan fill his heart. Yet Jesus picked up the towel and washed his feet too. And he knew who it was that was just going to go out and betray him and sell him down the road for some shekels of silver. Well, we pick up the towel and serve people even when they betray us and they hurt us and they backstab us. Pick up the towel and get back into service. So your anointing depends on it. The flow of God's presence. And if you get back into your place of serving, the anointing will once again be fresh in your life. If you quit in a ministry, you go do what Jesus said. Resolve whatever difference you had or injury you received and get back in the game. Because basically, there's just three categories of people in the room today. Those who are in the game, those who are on the sidelines, and those that are in the stands watching. I don't know about you, but the way I'm wired, when the game's on, I want to get in, right? And you recall you lost some anointing when you quit serving. Something changed. It was no longer the joy you once had. Your heart changed because you quit serving. Get back in there. If Elisha can catch the anointing by serving, then we can do the same thing. If the anointing comes by serving and giving, that's what we have to do. So I'm saying that your victory is tied to giving. Your victory is tied to serving. And if you really want that depression broken in life, you have to what? Lose your life for his sake. Are you listening? In other words, get the focus from off of you and help somebody else. In the original language, anytime they came before God, they had to bring him a sacrifice. The same principles in effect today. You can't come before God without bringing him a sacrifice of praise, a sacrifice of worship. I know it's tight, but it's so right. Amen? Your victory is tied to your giving. And the more I help you, the more it helps me. The more I do for you, the happier I become. That doesn't make sense. That the word of the culture doesn't think like that. Well, no, of course. But the kingdom of God thinks like that because our selfish flesh wants to protect itself from anything or anyone else. But the more I give to you, the more it helps me. As a matter of fact, when I help you, I'm helping myself. When I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. When I give, Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. So if you truly believe the word of God, we just won't sit back in the stands waiting for something to change because God anoints people who have a giving attitude, who put on the heart of a servant. When was the last time you picked up some students and brought them out on a Wednesday night for their service? You pray, Lord, if you'll get me this car, I'll bring people to church in it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. What, did you keep your promise to God? Did you do what he asked you to do? This is a faith issue. You'll never find your purpose, listen, until you put on the heart of a servant. And you will never see depression broken until you learn to be a giver. You'll never see the anointing come in any measure until you get up and start to serve. You can serve people in a care center. You can serve people who come to your home to study the Word of God. You can get involved when we have something that's going on that requires some meals to be brought out and to be cooked. Find a place to serve. Bring God your tithe. Everybody can do that. All of us can bring the tithe and give offering. And when you really get serious, you'll start making some adjustments that need to get tweaked. In clinical depression, you'll have days when you give up hope. That's a serious place to get to. As we're watching more and more of our young audiences around this country lose their lives because of severe depression, taking their lives. It's a serious issue because they're hopeless. They don't feel there's any hope given to them. And part of that is what's going on in our homes. Part of that's what's happened sometimes in our public school rooms because we are teaching everything but the principles that will bring them hope. This is where hope begins, right here in this word. Lived out in our homes, lived out in our community, looking out to help one another, loving each other. And the same thing has happened with active duty Air Force. The highest incidence last year of suicide among active duty Air Force personnel ever in their history. And you wonder, why is that happening? Because of hopelessness. So the chaplains, along with some of the high-level commanders in the Air Force, have decided we probably did the wrong thing by trying to dumb down the spiritual aspect in the needs of those that serve in our military. So we're going to take a couple of days and we're going to reevaluate that. It looks like we're going to start spiritually armoring up again, because without spiritual armor, it isn't going to happen, folks. Okay? When we start giving and start serving and putting God first, He turns everything around. He works things out. It might not work out the way I think it ought to work out, but He'll work it out, baby, and it'll all end up for our good. God didn't call me to be a great leader. He called me to serve. He didn't call me to be a great preacher. He called me to serve. He didn't call you to be a great singer. He called you just to serve. He didn't call you to be a great musician. He called you to serve. A servant. It's not about you or me. It's about Him. God's not looking for superstars. He's looking for servants. And He said, the servant is not above his master. And if the master, Jesus speaking of Himself, can get down and serve, so can we. God's looking for people who will walk by faith, not by sight. Looking for people who will give when they think they've got nothing to give. God's looking for people who will pick up a towel. And the word says, Jesus girded Himself with a towel. He wrapped the towel around Himself so He could wash the feet of His disciples. Of course, they were nonplussed at what He did. Because Peter, he verbalized, He's not going to wash my feet. He knew I should be washing your feet. I should have been the one up, and here we're arguing about who's going to get the seat at your right hand. People want to be seen sometimes. And that was the problem with the disciples in that room that night. They were too interested in wanting to be seen and to be recognized and to be on the platform. People want to be front and center in God's kingdom. And Jesus girded Himself and washed their feet. And what a lesson to learn that night, right? The Master, the King of glory, King of kings and Lord of lords, sets aside all of His majesty and wraps a towel around Himself. And then He takes it off and He begins to wash the feet of His disciples. And He said, I want to serve you. And I want to let you know I'm not here to be served, but to serve. I'm here to let you know I'm here to serve you and wash away all your sin stains. And the word says He took that thing that was covering Him off to reveal a servant. If we're going to be a servant, we have to take off our pride. We have to take off our self-sufficiency. We have to take away our selfish attitudes. We have to strip ourselves of our will and say, Lord, not my will, but Your will. Make no mistake, when God's working in your life, some people will zing you, say things about you. When God's working in your life, some will try to put you down. It's all part of stripping you of that pride, of self-sufficiency. When God's working in your life, some people may not treat you very well, and then it's when you really know if you're a servant or not, when they start treating you like one. When God's working in your life, it's because He's trying to get us to humble ourselves and to serve, because we know we're nothing without Him in our lives. The devil's plan is to get you so discouraged, you'll quit. His plan is to get you so discouraged and depressed, you'll think, I can't take another step. And that's why if you're going to have breakthrough, you can't be concerned about others' opinions, because everybody's got an opinion, right? You can't be concerned with what people think of you, because you can't please everybody, right? And God called you to please Him, not people. And even though God's calling is on our lives, there'll be times when we face trouble, we face storms, but we're going to be made over into His image It's in the journey that we're growing and stretching and being chiseled and being brought together into the place where he's formed us. It's not the destination. It's the journey that teaches me these lessons. And as we allow these things to be stripped off, we become a little bit more like the master. But you have to wait for this trial to be finished, and you have to wait through it and get what you need out of it in order to grow. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Hang on to the Lord and wait for the storm to pass, because in due season, he will turn it when we're faithful to serve him. Jesus said, I didn't come to serve, but to serve others. To be served, but to serve others. And that's the heart of God. The more we do for others, the more God helps us. And the faster our healing comes. The word says, Elisha ministered to Elijah for years, and then the anointing fell on him. So you begin to serve, and you forget the timetable. Easier said than done. Pastor Glam and I were talking about that yesterday. Who thought it was going to be 30-plus years for them to get their facility? But we don't know the timetable. We think we should tell God when the timetable should clock in, right? God, I think it should be now. But that's hard. But we have to trust God with the timetable. Just know God's in charge. It's a faith issue. Maybe you did fall short of the goals you have right now. But get back to serving God first. Become a servant of the Lord. Then watch how God starts the clock again and turns things around. Present your body as a living sacrifice. And you'll never see the anointing of God on your life in any measure until you present yourself as a living sacrifice. Getting involved in your church, serving because you need a greater measure of the presence of God working in your life. So I'm saying that the anointing will break every generational curse. The anointing will break all of the depression. The anointing, the presence of the Lord, will turn every circumstance. The anointing will open the door. The anointing will put faith back into your heart. The anointing will position all of us for comebacks. The Holy Spirit wants you to know, if you'll pick up the towel and begin to serve, won't be long, God will begin to open the doors once again and give you what it is he promised you. But you have to forget about the feelings and yourself and work to help others, because that's the mission of the church, that we are to love one another, amen, and serve one another. That's what his body looks like. And sometimes that's not easy to do. Sometimes some people make it difficult to do that. But we still do it with the love of the Lord. It's the great commandment. That is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, and to love one another as you love yourself. Amen? Love others as you love yourself. So we have to sometimes put all of those singular, I want to make sure that, first of all, God's first. Secondly, helping others is my second priority. I challenged the church yesterday to be reminded of in Solomon's prayer that the whole world around us, after they dedicated this beautiful temple in Israel, that this isn't just for us, that the whole world around us will know there is one God to serve. And it's not about all of us gathered in a building on a Sunday. The work of the church needs to be done all week long out on in the community, in among the places, in the workplaces where we all reside, simply because it's not all about us. It's about others knowing who he is. And then fresh anointing falls and revival begins. It's that fresh anointing that breaks the depression, the fresh anointing that puts hope back in our hearts. You know, the scripture tells us many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him out of them all. And when you're serving God, you may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but you don't fear evil, for the Lord is with you. Some have this wilderness mentality. They've been beaten down and beaten up, and people have told you, you can't do anything right. You're no good. What's wrong with you? You grew up with a wilderness mentality. And what is that? Nothing ever works out for me. the harder I try, the worse off I get. The more I try to lose weight, the more I gain. That's another message. I forgot. That's next time. Anyway, but now that you've come to the promised land, God has made promises to you. Amen? He's given you an overcomer mentality. You've got to trade the wilderness mentality for the promised land mentality. In other words, you're an overcomer. You may be going through hell today, but it's all going to work out for good. The Lord will deliver me out of them all. And when you give your life to Jesus, you become more than a conqueror. God told you, I will give you a double portion. He gives us double. So after the Last Supper ends, Jesus got up. And sometimes we need to get up from where we are and start serving. Sometimes you have to say, wait a minute, this is over in my life. I'm through with this depression stuff. I'm through with living the way I've been living. You got to say, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. I'm burying my past. God's going to do a new thing, a fresh thing in my life. So I don't know about you, but I'm believing God to write some new chapters in my life because God promised me he would turn my mourning into dancing. Just read it to you. He would give me the oil of joy that if I would praise him, heaviness would lift off of me. So trouble won't last always. You're going through it. It will not last. Just wait the thing out. You know, you're stubborn, right? Don't lie in church. But stubborn enough to wait. Use that stubbornness to wait the enemy out. That's the stubbornness we need to acquire. It's tenacity. It's perseverance. You kind of get up on a Monday morning after a weekend. Well, I'll speak for myself. After three services on a Sunday and prepping on Saturday and all the things that have to go into happening, what happens here on Sunday, I get up on Monday and I'm looking for muster, a moment where I can regather everything and pull it together and head back out into the week full steam ahead, right? So stop rehearsing all the pain and just wait it out. Stop worrying about who is with you and who isn't. Just wait it out. Stop beating yourself up over some mistakes that you've made because everybody's made them. Get it under the blood and wait it out. Your greatest asset in coming out of your cave of negativity is your persistent faith in the Lord. Persistent faith. You have to be like the woman with the issue of blood, and you press in. You're tired of living like this. I'm serious with God. I pick up a towel. I serve. You don't want to serve, but we got to serve. You have to do something. You're at the gate of the city, and you're under siege. And it's exactly what happened in the Bible story. And the three lepers are sitting there, and the city is behind walls, and they're starving to death inside the city because the enemy army is outside laying siege to them. They've got no food. There's nothing to eat. I can't even describe what was going on in there. The Bible does. It was horrible. And the three lepers can't go in because they're exiled outside the city because of their leprosy. So they look to each other and say, look, if we sit here, we're going to die, right? If we charge into the enemy's camp, they might kill us. But if we stay here, we're going to die anyways. So let's take a shot. Let's run out into the enemy's camp. Let's see what happens. So they run into the enemy's camp, and what do they find? That God had totally confused them, and they had not only killed, they took off, and they left everything. They ran away from the presence of God, and they left all of their belongings, all their goods. I mean, chicken was still in the frying pan. I mean, and these guys, these lepers are picking up, and they're eating, say, hey, we got more than we can consume, more jewels and things that we can ever carry. Let's go tell them in the city, look what God's done out here. Get out of there. Get out of that box you locked yourself into. Man, you got to get up and do something. That's what I love about the story, those lepers. They said, we're not going to sit here. We're going to get up and do something. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching for what lies ahead, you press. You target your faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't look at your today. Make plans for the future. Look ahead. You're coming out of sadness, coming out of depression, You're coming out of that moment of anxiety and negativity. God wants to do something new. How many are ready for something fresh? Amen? Devil wants to shake your confidence, trying to get you to quit. You're too legit to quit. And we're not quitters in here, amen? You may think, I'm going to die because of what I'm going through right now. You may think, there's no way I'm ever going to get out of this or through this. That life is not worth living. Let me tell you, that devil is a liar. Wait it out. God will get you through it because something's about to change in your life. Amen? Affirm that God has good things planned. Stand to your feet and affirm before the Lord, right? God's goodness toward you. God's faithfulness toward you. That God loves you. He's going to take care of you. Thank you, Lord. Take a moment. Prayer. Thank you, Jesus. And while we're all just here quietly before the Lord, and just to hold steady for just a few seconds more. Thank you, Lord. I praise you for your faithfulness. I praise you for your goodness. Eyes are closed. And you know, none of this can turn in our lives until we've repented of our sin and said to God, I've made some bad choices. I don't know how to fix them. Sometimes there have been some harsh consequences to those choices. Sometimes there's been a fine, maybe imprisonment, maybe a mark against you in your education or your career. I serve a God who can take the worst of circumstances and turn those circumstances for good.